Welcome to round 11 of Wilbur and McCormick, tag team unscripted.
Yeah.
Dave, you're just coming back from GIS or GCSA show, or what are they calling that these days?
CTS.
What the hell's
Conference
that
Trade
for?
Show. Conference and Trade Show.
Oh.
And if you're in the know, people would say, have a good CTS, they'd say. Oh, okay.
Well, I saw that acronym or whatever, and I didn't know what it stood for, but now I do. So CTS, now, maybe. Now I'm in the know as well. So,
right.
Let's, I don't know whether you want to kick off with a glimmer.
Yeah, or
you want to dive right into San Diego?
Isn't what we do glimmers first, because that's our mindfulness thing?
It is.
Okay, let's do that.
I have a glimmer that I think we share.
Okay, go for it.
And that was our last podcast with the guys from Firefly Automatics.
Yeah.
Which I greatly enjoyed, just on a personal level.
I know, yapping
with
fun.
Those guys.
Right.
I found the their whole philosophy and the way they operate and the way that they work and all that stuff to be fascinating. And
they're gonna be
a force to be reckoned with.
You bet. No doubt about it.
I haven't spoken with them since the show, but my guess is that they were pretty busy.
Yeah. I think they were really busy. I went over there to see Steve and his wife, Wendy, and the guys, and they were just surrounded. And I probably passed by three or four times and could never even get close to them. I figured, I don't want to bug you.
Yeah, good for them.
Yeah, right. Good for them is right.
I did see fairly just within the last couple of days that their rotary version is very close.
Yeah, right. And then they had a huge software update, gigantic software update. They had those features. They were announcing those today.
Well, we're going to have to maybe revisit with them since we're the Firefly Automatics pipeline right to the source right here, right?
They seem like great people.
They are. And I applaud that. And I reiterate my concern about not getting sucked up by the big red vacuum. Because when that happens, all fun will cease.
Yeah, it kind of does.
And I think they're in it as much for as entrepreneurs and whatever. I think they're in it as much for the fun as they are to make an impact and to make some money.
Well, I think they care about end users and the result, and so they're proud about the quality, right? Which so that all works. You know, I love that part. Yeah. So what's the glimmer is?
It was a cool podcast.
I think it was a cool podcast
that has been very well received.
Yeah.
And I should also note that to date we have received no promotional monies or advertising or anything else from them.
Yeah. Right. We did that because we like them.
That's absolutely correct.
Yeah.
We like the product to start with, but now we like the people too.
Right.
And that's good.
That is good. That's really good.
Yeah. I don't have a hell of a lot of glimmers lately. I've been struggling.
Tell me about that.
Well, I don't know whether I really want to get into that off too awful much, but you know, I've been, struggling with mental health for the last 4 months, I think, something like that. And the last couple of weeks have been bad.
Oh, that's not good.
No, it sucks. In fact,
because I thought you were kind of turning the corner, you kind of said, right? So,
well, it turned the wrong way.
Oh, I see.
So I don't really want to get into that. All that much. One thing I do appreciate about this thing that I do with you,
yeah,
is that it's therapeutic. for me.
Me
it
too.
Is. It's as weird as that sounds.
Oh, that's
good. It is. It's fun to do. Conversation's good. Yeah. You know, so there's that.
Well,
I can talk about a few other things. You know, I mean, along those same lines, I'm investigating some alternative treatments and such, including ketamine.
Ketamine's pretty amazing.
That's what I understand. They've got several delivery vehicles for that. And what is it? Glutamates or something that it enhances or something in the brain. I don't know. Completely, you know, allows those synapses that aren't firing up there to all of a sudden do that again.
So, I mean, full disclosure, I think ketamine is it more than a year ago, I investigated all that and did the ketamine treatment thing.
Oh, you did?
I did. And I started with the infusion, which was expensive, and it was kind of clinical.
Yeah.
You know, it was kind of weird to go to an office. You know, it wasn't, you know, for me, it wasn't super comfortable. But then I found another group that that worked with that. And it's, you know, it's a higher dosage, right? So
the infusion is higher.
The infusion is higher. And so is, you can get it orally too, right?
Yeah, like a melt-in-your-mouth lozenge or something like that. And you can get the spray, nasal spray also.
You can, but for the higher doses, it's even different, right? So that's a, you know, once every 3 weeks kind of thing.
Right.
And you're, you know, it's a couple hours and you're in a quiet space. And it's a, you know, it's a hallucinogenic experience, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's part of it. And that really did rewire me, and it was amazing. And I would suggest, for me, I just, you know, it's like, wow, I don't want to add another drug or whatever. So somebody suggested looking at ketamine, and it worked out great. And it was a huge part of my first turnaround.
That's and what then, I'm hearing. Well,
yeah,
one of these unscripteds, you may be looking at a new guy, because I'm trying to maneuver my way into that. A couple of considerations are that the nasal spray is FDA approved, and as such is covered by most insurance.
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
Wow. Yeah, where,
okay,
and that's like a couple times a week for a month or something like that, and then once a week for another month. So it's almost microdosing, I think.
And then the real microdose thing that's happening is there's a company called Joyous that now does a small lozenge that goes every day with
really?
A very small dose to kind of keep things on board. But from what everything that I've talked to people about and all the clinical people and everything, it's like, it's best to start with a, you know, 5 or 6 big doses and then move to the lower dose stuff. As opposed to the other way around.
Yeah. If you need it.
Mm-hmm. If you need it.
Well, and, so I'm pursuing that. Enough of that. People don't want to know about that unless it just makes me into just a stellar kind of a person. That
it's not going to. It's not that. You know, I just think for me, it took away that one bit of darkness that, and it still comes, but it's just not quite as dramatic. You know, and for the PTSD part of my whole deal, that's where the ketamine really. It's helped a lot of soldiers and cops and first responders, you know? So, and that's how I got turned onto it, was the therapist I was working with that mostly works with PTSD and he mostly works with cops and soldiers, helped me find that avenue. So I encourage you to,
Well, I just stumbled across this within the last week, and I happened to consult Dr. Google.
Yeah,
Looking for or researching treatment-resistant depression.
Yeah.
At the urging of my friend Brian Flynn, who is a retired psychologist, he said, "You've been struggling with this too long, man. This has just gone on too long, and you've tried medications, and you've done this, and you've done that, and it's too much, man." Yeah. So you know, I did look into that, and I came across this ketamine thing, and there happens to be a provider right here in town.
Oh, good. Yeah,
it doesn't do the IV stuff. For that, I'd have to go down to Manchester, Vermont, which is an hour and a half away from here, and that makes logistics difficult.
Yeah, that's tough. Yeah, I wouldn't want to be driving after that.
Well, you can't drive, so I would have to get Patty to drive me, and you know.
All that stuff, right?
That's difficult. So, all right, moving along.
Yeah.
You have any personal glimmers you'd like to share? How's Walter?
Walter's amazing. He's growing like a weed. I should have had him in here, but he's snap time. I'm trying to keep him on a schedule. But yeah, he's 30 pounds at the vet.
Come on. Really?
Yeah. Up from 12 when I got him. And he's character. He's developed his personality, and it's one of humor and silliness and happiness, you know. So I love it.
What you want?
Yeah, exactly. And then you know he's got his big brother and his big sister to teach him how to be a dog, and they're really good with him. The German Shepherd just loves him. They're best buddies. You know, and the shepherd's only 2.5, so they're really, you know, he's still a puppy in his brain, right? So it's, you know, it's rock'em sock'em dog robots every night for them. I love it. I do. But yeah, that's going good. And I guess my other glimmer is, you know, I survived a GCSAA show.
Well, that's what I want to talk to you about. You know, I want to know about the show, but I also want to know, I know you had some concerns about being able to handle the onslaught of all of the stuff. That was okay.
It was okay, Peter. It's a lot, you know, and I feel bad because I got some messages from people. Hey, I saw you. You were busy. I didn't come talk to you. Or you see somebody in passing and they just kind of wave and off they go. And you really would love to have a word with that person. And I hate that. You know, I hate missing people.
That's the nature of the thing. You can't see and talk to everybody.
But you know, overall for me, just you know, except for the kind of the physical wear and tear, I definitely have to. Kevin Hicks and I were talking about I've got to look at knee replacement for real now. So
is that right?
Yeah, I had a knee that was barking at me so hard. You know, it's like I can do 4,000 steps a day, but you know, 15,000 was not okay. So, so I'll deal with that. But no, I mean, you know, the overwhelm part of it, I think I handled pretty well. You know, just a lot of people, a lot of action, a lot of activity, a lot of things to do in the evening, 2 or 3 things lined up, you know, that kind of stuff. But man, did I get to meet some neat people, some people that I knew about but hadn't met before.
Right.
That was fun. It's still the small group thing that, you know, that I love. You know, get me with 5 or 6 supers or industry people or whatever, and I love it. You know, a couple hundred in an aisle at the trade show, that's hard.
Yeah, so much.
But, you know, as far as just, you know, feeling good about being there personally and, you know, the relevancy thing and all that sort of stuff. I mean, yeah, I'm older than a lot of people now. And it used to never be that way. How do you think I feel?
Jesus.
I know a lot of us talked about that. Matt Crowther and I had a good moment, and we got to talk for a little while. It was really good. It was good to see Matt and to see him doing good with his new gig, and we talked about our gray hairs, you know, giving us wisdom and wonderfulness.
He must be about your age, I would think, isn't he?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
He's with PBI Gordon now.
Yeah, and he says he's doing great, and that's wonderful. Matt's a great guy, and you know, has been a TurfNet friend since forever, right? So,
yes,
you know, met him at Beer and Pretzels for the first time years ago, and met Charlie Foltz for the first time. I'd never met Charlie. He walked up and introduced himself. That was a great conversation. He's a great talker. Huh?
He's a talker.
Yeah. No, I am too. We had a great moment, and so there was some of that. I met Chad Allen from Chatham Hills
near
Indianapolis. And I had never met Chad before, but always read his stuff and everything. And just what a great guy. had a good story to tell, got in the business a little bit later in life. And so yes, we had a fantastic time. And then, Turf Rad, a lot of attention on Turf Rad, and that kept me busy for sure. Told that story, over and over and over until my
And
voice was
the
done.
people from your Swiss people were happy.
Yeah, they were there. All of the team was there. And they got in a little bit early and got their jet lag out of the way, which is really cool. And yes, it was they were all very and then the
I haven't traveled in a long time, but from what I understand, you really have to pack in a lot of buffer travel, screw up buffer time.
Well, and I haven't heard all of the stories entirely, but evidently I got out of San Diego Friday morning really early, and evidently as the day went on, there was a change in the wind direction or something, and some of those planes couldn't take off going one direction
That's a weird place
or
to fly
something.
in and out of.
Right? So
You're
I
coming
guess
in, it's like.
I don't know if it's east or west, but anyway, there's a if you don't if you don't get to take off one way, you run into the buildings kind of thing,
Right,
you
yeah.
know. So
That's not a good thing.
some people sat on the runway for 7 hours.
Really?
5 and 7 hours, I've heard.
That sounds like a Dallas or thing, a Texas thing.
So heard a few of those stories, a few of those stories where it was like, yeah, I sat on the runway for ever. And
I
that's a
didn't
world.
hear any of that, but I wasn't really looking for it either.
Right. Yeah. But it seems like I got out of there just before that all changed or something. I don't know.
So,
So
Turf Red had an announcement of something with Toro, right?
I've been kind of having to sit on that non-disclosure agreements and all those sorts of things. But yeah, we built a piece of software called Spatial Adjust, which will take some Turf Rad data and integrate it into links. And it's a good thing, right? It's something Toro wanted to do. Something they wanted to invest in with Turf Rad, and so we built the tool for them.
Now,
It's
you
good.
want to clarify that that is nothing exclusive with Toro. It's just an enhancement to their own system,
Yeah,
correct?
it's an enhancement to Lynx. And yeah, there was a lot of confusion. I mean, the sensor, Toro distributors are not selling the sensor. That's still direct from Turf Rad. And it is an enhancement to Lynx and an integration with Lynx, as far as that goes. And then there's some language and some fine print about what we can and can't, do with others with that intellectual property, but it doesn't keep us from doing business as usual. What people can get right now is really good, and they'll still get that. So, not worried about it. We've had some interesting conversations, and because people get it wrong, right? Little announcement, a little bit of PR press, and all that sort of stuff. But we're really thankful for just the way that it's that the way that the whole thing has been received, right? Because it's still a small company, and we're doing. They're very, very smart people, and when they build something, they build it right. They're Swiss, you know?
Kobe's chewing on a bone here, so let me grab that bone and get rid of it. Otherwise, that's going to come out through
It's
the
gonna get in
recording.
the
Hold on
thing.
for one second.
All
What
right.
are you doing? Come on, let's go this way. Here. Things we have to deal with, right?
Hey man, I love it.
Well, so, I think the confusion. He just brought it back. The confusion that I heard about was, oh well, Turf Rad's going to be exclusively Toro and all this stuff. And sometimes I think people hear sort of what they want to hear or read into things what they think, as opposed to really just taking it at face value. You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean, and we'll deal with that, as it comes. But no, you don't have to have just Toro irrigation to have Turf Rad. It's just a
Yeah.
piece of it's a piece of integration with their Lynx thing that they wanted us to build, and it's built, and that's a good thing. And I to the credit of the guys in Switzerland, they approached everybody, and everybody had kind of an opportunity to. To to dig in a little bit. And Toro really was interested, first, and they were most interested. So have to, sometimes you have to strike while the iron's hot. And that was before my time with Turf Rad, and it doesn't matter. My job is really simple. Work with the agronomy and keep our users happy. Right? That's my deal. So I'm happy about that. Yeah.
Have to give me that. You're making more noise than you're worth
I
there.
don't hear it coming over the thing.
Oh no. Well,
No, I don't hear it here.
I
My
heard it.
headphones are
All
good,
right.
so.
I'll give it back to him then.
Yeah.
So did you get out and mingle in the show, see anything else, or
Yeah,
get
I
pretty
did.
well tied to the Turf Rad booth?
I was tied to the Turf Rad booth partly just so my knees would stop barking. But no, I went and saw some things. I mean, what I saw is a lot of autonomous this and autonomous that, tons of different autonomous mowers, smaller ones, some interesting design ideas, some things like that. Lots of data collection, lots of, in that kind of thing. It's definitely the time of data, right, in our business. And that was good. It was good to see some cool partnerships. Thinking about Greenkeeper and Bill Kreuzer kind of working with Simplot a little bit. That's kind of cool.
Well, I was just going to mention Bill. It looks like he's really building a lot of new features into Greenkeeper. I mean, he's got a job board and a bunch of others, something called Recon. I'm not exactly sure what that is yet, but
Yeah,
from all indications are that they're really going gangbusters.
we're gonna see some cool stuff. I mean, listen, I've always believed in progress, early adoption, and competition. I don't want one flavor of toothpaste, and so I'm glad to see all these people really working hard and getting to do the things that they want to do. And the sad part for me is that I saw some people really desperately trying to play catch up, and they're pretty far behind. Things are moving so fast. It's the AI world, right? And you know this. I mean, you were part of moving fast when TurfNet got started, and it's moving even faster now. So there it is. Yeah.
No doubt that this dog's going crazy here. Hey, go somewhere else. It's a fun time in this industry, I think, if you appreciate that kind of stuff. When you look at the potential, not only of remote sensing and that, but the autonomous mowing, the drones, drone spraying, I think, whether that's got any future in turf, I'm not sure. There, I know there's a guy in New Jersey who started a business using a drone for spraying of primarily of native areas and stuff where places where you don't want to get in there with a wheeled vehicle and tear it all up and that kind of thing.
Yeah, I had a guy who does wetlands work, kind of thing, both
Yeah.
surveying, mapping, and also spraying, send me a couple of pretty cool videos. And it was just, I mean, he doesn't do anything in turf. He just happened to be somebody that I knew from agriculture in Northern California. And it's a big old drone, man. It's a big sucker.
Yeah.
And it, I'm sure there's lots of licensing and all that sort of stuff that just gets more and more complicated. Thank you, government. But I know that's going to be a big world for him. Because you can't access the areas that he's working in with a machine.
Right.
So that's pretty cool. Yeah. But no. And then, I saw lots of happy people, and it was good to see Jim Pavanetti get an award, get some people recognized, some things like that. I didn't get to see it, but I heard that that Rhett's talk about climbing Mount Everest was completely epic. And I hate using that word epic, but some people really talked about how good that was. So I hope I get to see it on video somehow. So what I got is generally just a lot of very happy people. Just
That's
happy,
good. I
happy
mean, they
people.
should be. People are sort of on vacation, if you will, or out of their typical milieu. And you know, for anybody in the cold belt,
yeah,
San Diego ain't a bad place to be.
And, no, it's, and the weather was good. I mean, there was a little bit of, you know, a little bit of afternoon rain, but nothing, you know, I mean, it was short sleeve weather for me, maybe a light jacket at night. And I got to have Mexican food at my favorite Mexican place. One of my favorite places in the world.
There you go.
Old town San Diego. So, hey, you know, what's wrong with that? Right.
So. I had a very, very small sliver of FOMO.
Really?
Yeah.
You wanted to be there?
If I could have been teleported there.
Right.
Beam me there and let me hang out for a day and a half or so.
Because we know good and well, you'd have been one of those people on the runway for 7 hours. I guarantee
you. Oh, I know. I'm not even going close to it. I wouldn't consider it. Not from here. No. There's part of me that you know, it. My impression is that it's becoming more and more a social thing. You know, big events. I think we folded beer and pretzels at the right time, man, because all these big things, these big events and stuff that,
yeah,
you know, let them do that. We did our thing.
I mean, it's definitely, you hear everybody making their plans, you know, and the plans, you know, it's easy, maybe a happy hour, you know, like right after the trade show or something, get together. But then there's this event, that event, this event, you know, it's all kind of corporate. And that's kind of what people do, you know? So, I heard about some people who stayed out late and did all that sort of stuff. And hell, I did that too back in the day. I don't need to do it now.
Yeah, I was going to say that when you get old and you factor in some jet lag and stuff, man, you're wanting to go to bed about 8 o'clock anyway.
I remember one year in New Orleans drinking coffee, eating beignets at Cafe Du Monde, watching the sun come up and thinking, well, we probably had to end this night, you know. Had seminars to go to.
So I saw they're going back to New Orleans next year and putting San Diego on a 6-year rotation.
Is it next year? I thought there it was Orlando.
Well, Orlando's now. I'm talking about the year after.
Oh,
so
okay.
So
New Orleans is back in the deal?
Apparently.
Wow. San Diego gets pushed back a little. Everybody loves San Diego. You know, the feedback is we love San Diego and the convention facility. One of my Uber drivers was telling me that when Comic-Con, you know, which is really the big thing that they do, it's like 160,000 people for Comic-Con, and we're like what, 25,000? So for that facility, it's easy to put it on for us, and it's easy for the town to handle it. You know,
well, that's one benefit of the show having shrunk from, you know, whatever it was 15 years ago, you know, when it was really limited to, you know, three or four
places,
Sunbelt cities.
Yeah.
You know, as it's gotten smaller, it obviously opens up opportunities to go to cities that maybe couldn't have handled it before.
Yeah.
Personally, I would think Nashville would be a good, I don't know. I don't have any idea what their facilities are or anything like that.
Somebody tell us.
Huh. Well, yeah, so I don't know. I wouldn't go anyway, so.
I was going to say, what does it matter to you?
It does not matter one iota.
So from your big chair in the sky, from your control booth position.
I'm not in the big chair in the sky just yet.
But, you know, well, you know what I'm talking about.
Yes. I mean,
are you like getting all these press releases and like all this stuff comes to you at TurfNet and like,
no.
Here's the word, here's this, here's that. No, you don't do that?
Reitman gets some of that stuff.
Okay.
I don't know why I don't get any of that anymore. Maybe because, well, it's probably because I haven't attended the show in 5 years. I haven't been on their media list.
Uh-huh.
For attending the show. And I'm sure that a lot of exhibitors there want to get the media list from GCSA. And my guess is I'm not on it anymore, which is okay.
Yeah. I mean, the last time I went to the show, however long ago it was, I was on the media list and I got bombarded during the show. I had tons of press releases.
I was surprised. Now, you know, we talked in a previous episode about turf Twitter, about not being dead, but let me tell you what, it's on life support.
Is it?
Yes.
Yeah.
I saw a lot of tweets or X's or whatever the hell they call them now about you know, the awards,
Yeah.
You know, Rhett's thing, a lot of group photos here, but very few product type tweets.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Compared to back in the day, a couple of times when I didn't go to the show, I could almost have worked the show on Twitter
Yeah, that
because
you said that to me once.
everybody was seeing cool stuff and, you know, taking a picture and, you know, tweeting it right away. And, you know, I could keep my thumb on it that way. Very, very little of it. And I've heard from some exhibitors this year that from a strictly business standpoint, it continues to the return on investment continues to decline.
Oh boy. Yeah. Well, I, you know, gosh, I don't, I'm out of that loop now as far as what everything costs. But let's see what to say about that. I mean, first of all, LinkedIn was hopping. So maybe where that, maybe that's where all that stuff is going. You know,
Well,
all those kind of announcements
I was
and
just
that kind of
talking to
stuff.
somebody earlier today about social media and that kind of stuff. And in my opinion, you know, a certain amount, because there's no doubt there's been an exodus from X. And I blame Elon for that.
I
No, I'm serious.
get
I look at all the people. Oh, Joe Blow, not Joe, Josephine Blow liked this post, or they followed you, and you know they're scantily clad. You
The
know,
robots took over.
it's
Yeah,
almost
for
like
sure.
whack-a-mole trying to block these people. And I
Yeah.
do it just out of principle because I don't want them around. I don't want them liking my stuff. I don't want them, you know, following us. I'm sure they're all bots anyway, but
They're bots.
yeah,
Yeah, they're bots or they're
just
sock
get out of
puppets.
here.
You know what a sock puppet, when I say sock puppet, you know what I mean?
Yes. So there's been a certain movement, as a matter of fact, in our Tuesday aggregator, which until this week I called the Turf blog and social aggregator, that has morphed into simply the aggregator
The aggregate.
because I'm choosing, or I'm selecting between five or six blogs that remain. And I used to be able to fill the entire thing with content from Twitter slash X. And now, you know, I'm having to go to LinkedIn, which is
Oh boy.
okay because it's intelligent. You know, the guys who post on LinkedIn aren't screwing around. It's intelligent, it's thoughtful, it's, you know, that kind of thing. I haven't figured out Instagram yet. Now,
I
Dan
know you
Dinelli
haven't.
posts on Instagram and call me a dummy. I don't know, but you know, both of my daughters are influencers and they're heavy Instagram users and they post all this stuff on there and they'll post something. Oh, or my wife will say, "Oh, I saw this on Colleen's Instagram." Oh, all right, let me go look at it. Well, it's gone. Why is it gone? Well, they delete stories
Because of the story thing,
after 24 hours.
yeah.
What the hell is the point in that?
Keeping
You know,
people
I mean,
coming back, keeping the things fresh.
I think I'm as tech savvy as, even though I'm old, I think I'm as tech savvy as, certainly more so than the average person. And I just don't get it. And I don't go anywhere near friggin' TikTok. Thank you, but no. Draw the line.
I don't create content on TikTok, but I like TikTok. It's just funny.
You do?
I like it. Yeah, I would. There's a few people that I follow. Bombarded by
obnoxious music and video stuff that, oh, it doesn't appeal to an old fart like me.
Oh, I get it. I'm not saying you're old, Peter.
I am old.
Well, I'm outside the demographic for TikTok too, right?
Yeah, because you're older than 18 or 16 or 13 or whatever the hell it is.
That's not the stuff I'm watching. I'm watching stuff from musicians, and there's a couple from Northern California that, like, you know, she's Vietnamese and he's not, and she says funny stuff, and he, you know, puts her up to things to go do and say to people, and it's just funny to me. You know, it's comedy, right? So I'm there for the comedy. And Instagram, I mean, Colleen could put posts up that stay. You know, she's choosing to use the story bit.
Well, they have their reels and all this other, yeah, you know, and they're making money doing it too. And they're getting all kinds of spiffs and, you know.
Listen, when the government was going to shut TikTok down, I mean, I think some people started to figure it out, is that I forget what the number is. I think it was 78,000 creators on TikTok make more than 100K a year.
Really?
In ad revenue.
So fill me in about the resolution of this threat to shut down TikTok, because as I think I might have mentioned to you before, I have created my news-free silo.
Right. Yep.
That I live in. I don't get any news. I don't, you know, I'm selective about my social media stuff. I've toned that way down. I watch an awful lot of YouTube, but I don't watch anything that's got any political or any government bullshit on there. I don't want to know. Wake me up in 4 years. So consequently, I do not know very much about the resolution of the TikTok debacle.
Well, I don't know much more than Trump put a stop to the, you know, did an executive order stopping the outlaw of TikTok. And I mean, I did watch the congressional hearings when they were, you know, talking about TikTok and all that sort of stuff, because I was, you know, super interested.
Give me the punchline.
The punchline is what?
You're venturing into the TMI realm.
You don't want to know? Okay. The punchline is they give it like 75 or 90 days or something to figure it out. You know,
is that right?
And Trump is like, well, we might just buy it, you know, or whatever. So
who's going to buy it?
The U.S. Oh, or geez. The U.S. would be in partnership. You know, please. Trump's going to buy Gaza. He's going to buy everything, you know, so. But the, you know, all the golf courses, all that stuff. So I don't know, you know, what they're going to do with, I mean, it just basically got put on hold for 90 days or so. And, you know, I don't think it's as scary as everybody says, this whole idea of harvesting information and data and all this sort of stuff. Look, it's none been harvested.
It's everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's, you know, TikTok scraping stuff is nothing, you know, is nothing that everybody else isn't doing already.
Uh-huh.
I don't think.
Yeah. No, I don't think, you know, listen, I mean, you know, Tencent, some of those Chinese, you know, video game people and all this sort of stuff. I mean, if they wanted all the stuff on my computer, they'd have had it long ago, you know, and they can. So they can have my dog pictures and, you know, what scotch I drink or whatever. I mean, I just don't know that my life is all that interesting.
Maybe they do have it.
If they do, that's fine.
I don't care.
You know, if I don't want it out there, I'm going to lock it down, and I'm going to way lock it down. And that's just the way it is. But I think, you know, people.
Yeah, stay out of my wallet. Other than that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think people are naive. You know, it's like, oh, look, Facebook, it's free. It's free. I don't think anybody realized that. Everything that was being said, it was being harvested and sold. You know, all of your likes, dislikes, what you do, what you don't do.
I made the mistake. I flipped through Facebook a little while ago. I think it was probably to find something that one of my daughters posted. And with this new dog, who's still making a lot of noise here, We were in need of some sort of a harness or something like that. And I made the mistake of clicking on an advertisement for a dog harness.
And then your feed is filled with dog harnesses.
Every third thing now is dog harnesses.
We live in cookies. Cookies, Peter.
Yeah, I know. I get it. But
I'll tell you what freaks me out is when I'm talking to somebody about dog harnesses and then I start getting ads for it before I've searched.
Not sure I've experienced that yet.
I have. And I don't know what to think about that.
I don't like that.
Yeah. I don't know. You know, but I mean, if you look at, you know, I read all the Edward Snowden stuff and everything. It's like the iPhone is just one big data collection device, whether you're on it or not, you know, it's listening to everything.
So you're talking about talking to somebody on a phone.
Yeah, or just voice. or just over coffee, you know, with your phone sitting there.
Well, that's even scarier. I thought maybe you were referring to talking in the sense that my daughters use it, meaning texting.
No, this has been conversation only stuff.
That, and then that I start getting ads for it. Now that's not good.
Yeah, I don't know. And then, you know, Bezos and all those guys try to sell predictive technology, you know, which is like, okay, if you buy dog poop bags, then you must want dog harnesses and dog bowls. And, you know, we're just going to start sending you all the different dog stuff. Right. And then people who have dogs, well, they also like, you know, Merrell shoes or whatever. So we'll start sending you, you know, whatever, right? Like, you know, they think they have the algorithms all tuned up, but
I have a pair of Merrell shoes or two or three.
Because you like dogs. Yeah, me too. Right. So I'm just saying that, you know, I think our buying habits and all that sort of stuff were, you know, were the first stuff to get harvested, you know, back in the day. And, you know, and then our whereabouts, you know, where we go, who drives to where, and all that stuff. How is it that Google can tell me so much about traffic in my town? You know, like it knows which route to take, even before I, you know, actually get on the road, right? You're going to run into traffic here. So go there, then go there. Oh, Waze. You know, have you ever used Waze? W-A-Z-E?
I've heard of it. I haven't used it.
Yeah, it's really adaptive. You know, it's like, okay, we're going to find the very best route, even if it takes you on a side street or two or around an accident or whatever. And it's just, yes, it's kind of amazing how much information must be being processed there. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't think my life is that interesting that anybody in the Chinese government is going to go, wow, look what Dave Wilbur's doing. You know, maybe your life is that interesting. Mine is not.
Mine is definitely not interesting. Trust me. Intentionally so, right. I might say.
Right. I keep it simple.
Yeah.
I keep it simple.
So what is going on in your life over the next little while? You hanging close to home? You don't have any more shows?
Yeah, I'm not on the road for a little bit. I'm going to see a knee surgeon today. Actually, my doctor got me an appointment with the surgeon that she likes. So I'm going to go over there for a consult today and start thinking about knee replacement, both knees, and get back going. I was talking with Kevin Hicks and talking with Kevin Hicks' wife about the recovery time and all that. You know, it's 2 months. You know, it's 2 solid months of recovery
for a knee.
For each knee. Yeah. And she, you know, Julie Hicks told me 8 weeks, plan on 8 weeks, you know, with all said and done, with the first 2 weeks being really horrible, no fun, you know, not sleeping well, all that stuff.
Yeah, I don't remember who I was talking to, but within the last several days, I was talking to somebody who had a hip replacement, and he was up walking with a cane that day.
Yeah, it's, you know, hips, they've really kind of figured it out, and like, it's really, you know, and I actually have one hip that needs to be looked at too, but I think it's supposed to be knees, then hip, you know, but I don't know, maybe not. Maybe it's the other way around. I'll find out.
Well, I guess I should consider myself lucky that all of the issues that I have are between here and here. You know, a lot of it is here. Thankfully, I've got the eyeballs figured out.
Right. You get shots in your eyes.
The macular degeneration is under control. My cataracts are gone. still working on this up here. But thankfully, all the rest of me, even playing hockey for all those years that I did back in the day, you know, I've had the medial meniscus from, you know, whatever it is out of both.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, that stuff.
Yeah.
Ironically, not a glimmer, but a glummer. I found out the other day that a guy who was probably my best friend in grade school, played on our hockey team and, you know, whatever, died. Well, in addition to playing hockey, he played football also. He was a center on the high school football team.
Okay.
And that had to beat him up. But from what I understand, I know for the last 10 years or so, he's walked with a cane. From what I heard the last couple of years, he was in a wheelchair. Now, he was the head athletic trainer of a Ivy League university.
Wow.
Yeah, but, you know, we sort of lost touch after college. I used to call him on his birthday for a couple of years, and he didn't really seem to give a shit. So, you know, I saw him at one reunion. I went to one of my high school reunions. That was the 10th, so that was 40 years ago.
Yeah.
And I think that was the last time. It's the last time I saw him, but it was too bad. I mean, his parents were friendly with my parents, and they used to come over and drink our booze all the time. And he had one sister. So his parents died from cigarettes. Cigarettes got his sister, too. So, and he never married, so he had nobody.
Wow. Oh, that's horrible.
You know, it's kind of sad, but that I have to say, that freaked me out just a little bit.
The day
that I heard about that. Yeah, well.
So you're thinking about yourself.
Well, I mean, I can remember his phone number.
Right.
At home.
Yeah.
And you know, from when I was in second grade. And he had a party line back in the day, if you remember those things.
Sure,
you know what a party line was?
Yeah, we had a party line. Yeah, that was nuts. I try to explain that to people, and they're just like, what? What do you mean? You know,
for those of you who don't know, and we never had one, but calling him. So there were several households who shared one phone line.
Phone line. Yep.
And you had to, if you wanted to make a call, somebody else was using it. You had to wait for them to get off of it, which is completely foreign to any.
So our house, our ring was one long and two shorts, right? That's when you needed.
Oh, so they had different rings when it was inbound to you.
Yeah. Yeah. So you didn't answer if it was too long, you don't answer.
Right.
But people who didn't know that, you know, would answer. And then the other thing is, like, you could pick up the phone and somebody be talking because one of the other neighbors was on the phone.
Yeah.
Right. So, like, my dad used to get upset with one of the neighbors. He's talking on the phone too much, you know, I got to use the phone. And the party line. I think we had, what do we have? Five households
was
on
our
party line. Rural Colorado, that was quite a thing, man. And then, you know, and then with that whole deal too, is that you only had to dial the last four numbers in that
actually,
whole area.
Going back, the first home that Patty and I bought, this would have been 76. We lived in Allentown, New Jersey. Okay. Exit 7A on the turnpike for those who gauge things that way. For all you guys who are New Jerseyans will know what I'm talking about. But that we had a local phone company, it was the same thing. We just had to dial the last four numbers. And that was 50 years ago, which I guess is getting to be ancient history now. But
yeah, so you'd say to, you know, what's your phone number? And somebody would say, you know, 3428. You know, you didn't have to start dialing all seven numbers until later. That was a thing. And then area codes weren't a thing, you know, really, unless you live way out of the area. So, a party line. That's funny. I haven't heard that one in a long time. People don't get it. I've tried to explain that to some people, and they just look at you like, what? You know, how'd you deal with that?
But so
I didn't talk on the phone much.
I understand Elon had a big rocket launch.
Today?
No. A couple of nights ago, I saw some pretty amazing photos
of Starship.
Of the night sky, one of his rockets going up.
I didn't realize how big Starship was until they had a picture up the other day with a bunch of guys standing next to it.
Is that right?
That's like humongous. Yeah, I didn't really get it.
Well,
You know, they're.
the burn thing from this, or the whatever the tail that comes out of this rocket was just monstrous.
Yeah.
Yeah, look it up online.
I
There's a
will.
bunch of guys or a bunch of people posted it on Twitter too. It looked pretty cool.
And then
But I'm never
did
awake
you
at
see
that
where
time of
the
night.
where then they catch the stages? That's the one that blew my mind, is when the things were coming back to Earth and firing the rockets and landing,
Yeah.
you know, and then now they're catching it, right, with that, you know, with that. That's crazy. I mean, that's straight out
Well,
of Star Trek for me, you know.
the guy's a forward thinker, but man, he is freaking weird and scary. He's scary too. You know,
Yeah.
keep your hands out of my wallet, Elon. You don't need my money.
I think that's, you know, I honestly, I don't think Elon cares about your wallet either any more than the Chinese government cares about my
Yeah, I
what I
know,
order for
but
lunch.
I'm worried. I'm a little concerned about, spinning around and coming in the back door somehow.
Listen, what if, you know, just to play devil's advocate on that, what if it turns out that they really, you know, that all of this government waste and all of these things that they're finding and all this, like, you know, looks like abject corruption, you know, in the foreign aid world, you
I'm
know, gets
sure
cleaned
that,
up. I mean, that
well,
would be
I'm
something.
all for that. I'm all for doing away with $600 hammers and all the other nonsense that you hear about with Defense Department spending and all. I'll be honest with you. I hope there are 50 or 60 or 70 million people out there who are smarter than I am.
They're
And
smarter than I am. I
that
like
when I
that.
wake up in 4 years, it's going to be a better place. I'm not holding my breath.
Yeah.
But hey, we'll see.
Yeah, I don't listen, I'm like you. I don't really want to be political. I get political sometimes, but it has more to do with my cowboy libertarian upbringing, you know, which is like, leave me alone. You know, let me have my guns and my weed and my ketamine and, you know, and don't steal from me. I'm not going to steal from you. You know, that kind of stuff, right? You know, live your life however you want to live it. Just don't, you know, interfere with mine. And that's all good. I mean, you know, working in the school system a little bit, I saw some stuff. I mean, it's like, I don't know. You know, tolerance can go too far, I think. You know, the inclusion and equality, I think, can go a little too far. And I'm not sure that was working, you know, very well in some situations, especially with some of the tougher kids. You know, the kids were great at just inventing bigger diagnoses for themselves, you know, and
Yeah.
they didn't want to be messed with. And so I don't know. That's
All right,
a tough one.
listen, we're gonna ring the bell on this right now. I'm gonna talk to you more about that ketamine thing. I wanna know about
Yeah,
that.
that'll be fun.
But we'll do that. Once again, thank you to Turf Red for sponsoring this podcast.
Good people.
And in the next month or two, we're going to be transitioning to a different platform for recording this, which hopefully will be better. If it's not, we'll be back here on Zoom. But hey, whatever,
Well,
nothing
it's still,
ventured, right?
yeah, we want to look prettier because, you know, it's important.
I'm not sure they've got those AI filters.
Dude, I've got lots of power on my computer. It can make me look better, I can just tell you.
All right, Dave, very good. Another nice
Peter.
chat. Appreciate your friendship, my man. And
As always, my
yes,
pleasure.
we will regroup. Take care, everybody.
Yes, we will.